In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. We ask our Lord Jesus to send his Holy Spirit upon us as we read the book of heaven, the passages from Adam. May we gain wisdom and understanding of this divine science. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's begin with number 73. It's in page 90.
Volume 25, March 13, 1929. I feel a strength within me, a divine power, which draws me continuously into the eternal volition, as if it wanted me in continuous company with its acts, to give to its little newborn the life of these acts, and to have the pleasure of hearing them being repeated, or of repeating them together with her. It seems that the divine fiat enjoys very much. It celebrates when it sees the little newborn in its arms of light, either to tell her something about its long story, or to let her repeat what it does together with it. The divine fiat feels all the joy, the happiness, for having issued the creation. So its light transported my little intelligence into Eden in the act when our Creator, in a surge of love, was creating the life of love in Adam, in order to love him always, without ever ceasing, as indeed it never ceased, to be loved by him in return with an incessant love. It wanted to love him with a love that never says enough, but it wanted to be loved in return. While my mind was wandering in the love of the Creator and of the creature, my sweet Jesus, moving in my interior, told me, "My daughter, in the first act of the creation of man, our love overflowed so strongly and raised its flame so high as to make its arcane voices heard so strong and penetrating that the heavens, the stars, the sun, the wind, the sea, and everything felt invested by mysterious voices crying out over the head of man, 'I love you, I love you, I love you.' These arcane and powerful voices called man, and he, as though stirred from a sweet sleep and feeling enraptured by each 'I love you' of the one who had created him, also cried out in his surge of love, in the sun, in the heavens, in the sea, and in everything, 'I love you, I love you, I love you, O my Creator.' Our divine will, which dominated Adam, did not let him lose anything, not even one 'I love you' of ours, to which he would not respond with his own. It was lovely, a sweet enchantment, to hear him, as the power of our fiat would take the 'I love you' of our son, the dear jewel of our heart, upon the wings of its light, and invading the whole creation, he would make us hear in each created thing his continuous 'I love you,' just like our own."
Okay, let us stop there for a little bit. Thank you. As we read the book of heaven, these sections of Adam, we have to remember what's the goal that for this revelation given to Luisa Picaretta The main goal is that all the human race may return to the original state of grace in which Adam was created. All the history of salvation points toward this moment, towards the fulfillment of the creation of God in every one of us. And as Adam was constituted, created in that original state of grace, which is a complete union with God, with the will of God, that was the way he was created, and he lost that union by his own choice. Immediately after the fall, everything points towards giving the gift back again. But because he lost it, now we have to learn obedience. He disobeyed, and the law is given to men. And everything is pointing towards the recovering of the gift. Even everything that our Lord Jesus did, all the acts of redemption that he did in himself, everything points towards giving back what we lost. So we have to have this in mind whenever we read the book of heaven. And one of the things that we have to keep in mind is that as we read the book of heaven, we also have to make sure that we know what the church teaches about Adam and about all of this, because one of the main problems that we have experienced with this revelation, with the misinterpretation of this revelation, is that people, they start reading these private revelations, but they do not know the faith, and they do not know the doctrine. And that's the problem, because if you read the book of heaven passages like this, and you do not know the faith and the doctrine, then we will have misinterpretations. That's why it's important to read this with the catechism and with the Bible. We have to understand, the book of heaven and the passages that talk about Adam. We have to understand the book of Genesis, the first and the second chapter at least, because in there we encounter how God created everything. And then the catechism tells us all the way from 374 all the way to 379 what this state of grace consisted of, the state in which Adam was created and how he was placed in that original state of holiness. And if we understand what he possessed, and then we understand what he lost, then we are going to be able to understand why our Lord Jesus is giving us this revelation, this private revelation, because this is what he wants us to possess. He wants us to possess that grace that we lost. In him, we know that by nature, the divine will, the will of God, the will of the Father operates in his humanity by nature. In the Blessed Mother, we know that it operates by grace, and as it will operate by choice, by uniting ourselves, by using our free will. So we have to have that foundation. If not, it's going to be always difficult, and you will always have to have somebody to explain and explain and explain, and even that you will not be able to understand. And this is some of the problems that I personally encounter in the groups, that they do not know the faith, and they do not know what the church teaches about this. So it's difficult for people to embrace it, and those who embrace it, it's difficult sometimes to understand it, because that foundation is lacking. So here in this particular passage, our Lord Jesus is talking about this correspondence that Adam was given always. In the first paragraph, it says that the divine fiat enjoys very much, and it celebrates when it sees the little newborn in its arms of light. And it's the same with us, just as the divine will, the divine will celebrated and in seeing Luisa Picarreta being able to immerse herself and to give her little correspondence of love and thanksgiving and adoration. It is the same with us when we let the divine will operate in us in that way. It says that the divine fiat fills all the joy, the happiness for having issued the creation. So we have to understand that the divine will, which is the will of God, is the same to say the divine will and the will of God, because God is divine and his will is divine. So to understand what Adam was doing in that original state of grace, so that we may continue to do what he was doing. We know that in Luisa Picarreta, our Lord takes her soul out of her body, and she's able to see all of this, and everything is impressed in her mind and her soul, so she's able to remember and to go back what we usually call the rounds of creation, that we have to start praying basically as our Lord Jesus taught Luisa Picarreta to pray, as our Lord showed Luisa Picarreta that what Adam was doing in that state of grace. And basically he was just corresponding to God for everything that he had created out of love for him. So he understood that all creation was done out of love for him. And it goes along with what the church teaches in the Catechism of the Catholic Church in number 358. Yeah, I'm always mentioning as we read these passages, because it's important for us to understand that so that we correspond. How do we correspond is what we usually call, again, the rounds of the soul in creation, so that we recognize that God has done everything out of love for each one of us. So we thank, adore, and glorify him for everything that he has created. So we give thanks to God for creating the sun, the moon, the stars. So we have to make clear it is to God who we are adoring. Because if not, we are not adoring the elements, that will be pantheism. And that's a heresy, but we are just acknowledging what God has done for us. And then in return, we give thanks and we adore. That's the correspondence. That's how we offer his creation back to him, as the Catholic Church teaches us in 358, so that we have to love God, and then we have to return his creation. So how do we return it? By recognizing it, by adoring God, by thanking God. So that's very simple. You can do it in a general way, just by with a simple prayer, just like I put all my love you in all the acts of creation. I put my I love you, my thanksgiving, my adoration in everything that you have created out of love for me. In general, you can go one by one. And that's the way to start praying in that way. Here it says that this love between God and the first man in Adam, it was a constant giving and returning. So as soon as Adam felt that love, as soon as he opened his eyes and he was able to recognize that everything was done out of love for him, he felt compelled. He felt the necessity, the natural necessity, just to say thank you, to acknowledge everything that he had done out of love for him. So this is what is lacking in us, and this is the way we have to start praying now, to give thanks for everything that he has created out of love for all of us. So this this can be done in a very simple way, just by saying, I love you. I put my I love you in everything that you have created. And again, you can go in a, you can do it in a general way, or you can do it in a very particular way. And it's that's the way we normally do the rounds, but each one of us can do it in your own way. It's not like it has to be in a certain way or another way. So please don't get caught up into that. Because many people, they get caught up into those things, and that's not what our Lord wants. He wants us to learn how to correspond, how to start praying in that way also. So it is not contrary, again, to what the church teaches, because the church is teaching us that we have to offer all his creation back to him. So that's why it's important for all of you who listened this recordings, that you have to understand 358 of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, because if not, we will have some misunderstanding. And that's why so many people, they don't want to embrace this way of living, because they don't understand it, or some that reject it because they think it is not in line with what the church teaches. So it's very important to understand that. It says the following: our divine will, which dominated Adam, did not let him lose anything, not even one I love you of ours, to which he will not respond with his son. So it was this constant interaction between God and the first man and Adam, that at every moment he was being filled more and more, that the divine will corresponded also to everything that he was thanking God for. The divine will constantly was given more and more, as the Book of Heaven tells us in the Prevenient Act section. It says that it doubles and doubles, and is able to give even more and more. Why? Because at every time that we correspond, the soul acquires a new capacity to receive, and God is able to give more. He's always wanting to give, but if the creature does not have the capacity to receive, he cannot give. So in a way, we condition God, we limit God. So it is by doing these rounds of creation, as we call it, by going around and recognizing everything that God has done out of love for us, and just giving back his glory, returning the love that he has placed in everything that is being created. So in that way, we correspond. We give back to God his own creation, and now united with the will, with his will, basically we are capable of loving him with his own love. He makes us capable. He's the one who equips us with that love that otherwise we will not be able to possess, because we are creatures only. So it is by using our free will, uniting ourselves to his will freely, and then going around doing these rounds. In this way, we are able to start doing what Adam was doing in the original state of grace in which he was placed. And in this way, we will begin functioning with the divine will in us. This is what God wants us for all the human race. This is his will, that we may recover that gift, that we may start operating in that way right here, not when we go to heaven. That's the Our Father's, the prayer in the Our Father, thy will be done on earth. May we begin operating in that way right here, as the divine will operates in the souls in heaven. So let's continue with the passage.
Our divine will does not know how to do broken and interrupted things, but continuous ones. As long as Adam possessed his dear inheritance of our fiat, he possessed its continuous act. It can be said that he competed with us, because when we do an act, it no longer ceases. Therefore, everything was harmony between him and us, harmony of love, of beauty, of sanctity. Our fiat let him lack nothing of all our things. As he withdrew from our will, he lost the way to reach our things and formed many voids between himself and us. Voids of love, voids of beauty and of sanctity, and formed an abyss of distance between God and himself. And this is why our fiat wants to return into the creature as fount of life, to fill these voids and make the creature return into its arms as a little newborn, to give back its continuous act, just as when it was first created. After this, I felt myself without my highest good, Jesus, and I experienced such pain that I am unable to explain it. Then, after much waiting, my dear life came back, and I said to him, "Tell me, my beloved Jesus, why is the pain of your privation always new? As you hide, I feel a new pain arise within my soul, a death more cruel, more harrowing, more than those experienced other times when you eclipse yourself from me." And my always lovable Jesus told me, "My daughter, you must know that every time I come to you, I communicate to you a new act of my divinity. I communicate to you now a new knowledge about my divine will, now a new beauty of mine, now a new sanctity of mine, and so with all our divine qualities. This new act that I communicate to you causes that, when you remain without me, this greater knowledge brings a new pain into the soul. Because the more one knows a good, the more one loves it. And the new love brings the new pain when you remain without it. This is why, when you remain without me, you feel a new pain invade your soul. But this new pain prepares you to receive, and the void is prepared in you in which to place the new knowledges about the divine will. The pain, the new harrowing death that you suffer because of my privation, is the new call which, with arcane and mysterious and enrapturing voice, calls me, and I come, and in return, I manifest to you a new truth, which brings you the new life of your Jesus. More so, since the knowledges on my divine fiat are divine lives that come out of the womb of our divinity. And therefore, the divine pain you suffer because of my privation has the virtue of calling from heaven these divine lives of the knowledges of my will to reveal themselves to you, so as to make them rain on the face of the earth. Oh, if you knew what value one single knowledge of my divine will contains, what good it can produce, you would hold it as the most precious relic, and one kept as more than sacrament. Therefore, let me do and abandon yourself in my arms, waiting for your Jesus to bring you the divine lives of the knowledges of his fiat. Volume 25, March 13th, 1929. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. You see that our Lord Jesus again tells us and says, as Adam withdrew from our will, he lost the way to reach our things and form many voids between himself in us. It says voids of love, voids of beauty and of sanctity, and form an abyss of distance between God and himself. And this is why our fiat wants to return into the creature as fount of life, to fill these voids and make the creature return to its arms. If you read again the Catechism from 374 and 379, you will see that the Church already teaches about Adam in the state of grace that everything was ordered. It says that all the dimensions of man, of Adam, were in order. There was order between creation, between themselves, meaning Adam and Eve, and there was order also. He possessed dominion over himself. So after that, after he withdrew from that union in which he was placed, then he experienced all these, we can say, disorders. He experienced all what we call the seven deadly sins, capital sins. He experienced jealousy, lust, greed. We see what that disunion, that separation caused in us, that basically all these things in the soul, and we experience them in the human, in our humanity. So when Jesus says that he lost his way, man lost his way, that's why our Lord Jesus in the gospel says, is referring again, I am the way and the life. Because his humanity for us is the way to go back to that union. Without the humanity of Jesus, we cannot go back to this union. So in the humanity of our Lord Jesus, we see the two wills operating in perfect union. Of course, in our Lord Jesus, we see that it is by nature. But we see that his humanity is always his human will in union with the divine will. In his humanity, everything is in harmony. And till this time, the Church has been teaching us about the humanity of our Lord Jesus, and we know about his divinity too. But these writings is now, they help us understand the interior life of our Lord Jesus, what excuse me, what his divinity was doing in his humanity, how the two of them, they were united, and by that union, he allowed for us to now receive this gift. He reconciled us with the Father. So that's why he is the way for all humanity. Humanity is our access. It gives us access to his divinity. Without the humanity of Jesus, we cannot have access to the Father. So this is again important to read this with the sacred scripture. As we see here in Luisa Picaretta also, our Lord Jesus explains to her the importance of knowledge, how important it is to read and to have a knowledge of this divine science. And this, of course, we will gain it by reading the Book of Heaven. And the more we read, hopefully the more we can understand. But remember, this private revelation has to be read in union with what the Church teaches, which is contained in the doctrine of the Church, which is in the Catechism. If you have questions about anything of what the Catholic Church teaches, everything is in there in the Catechism. So that's why I was telling you that we need to know the faith, and we need to know the sacred scriptures. We need to know what the Church teaches about Adam in the state of grace, about this union of the two wills, which we already pray for in the petition of the Our Father. So basically what we are doing here too is trying to gain knowledge, to understand the Book of Heaven in that way with sacred scripture and the Catechism. And as we see here, the Lord tells Luisa Picaretta how important is to read, and how every new truth, every new truth that we encounter in the Book of Heaven about the divine will is, it says, is a new divine life that he's able to produce. Basically, that's what he says. All my divine will contains, if everybody will knew the value of one single knowledge of my divine will, what good it can produce, you will hold it as the most precious relic, and one kept as more than sacrament. Therefore, let me do and abandon yourself in my arms. It is very important that he mentions the sacrament. We know that the sacrament has its effect according to the state of grace in which we receive the sacrament. It will produce its effect according to the state of grace that you receive it. And here it is very important to understand that he's not replacing the sacrament when he says, and one kept as more than sacrament. First of all, we need to understand what a sacrament is. That's why, again, here it's important to have knowledge of the faith, to understand what's a sacrament. And also, when our Lord talks about this being more than the sacrament, we know that the sacraments, they have the effect according to our state of grace. And also, specifically, I'm talking about the sacrament of the Eucharist. We know that the sacrament remains as long as the sacramental species, they exist, as long as they remain. But after that, the divine presence, the true presence, disappears. It only lasts as long as the species, they remain. But what he's saying, and he told us at the beginning of this passage, that one act done in union with his will enters into eternity, basically. So if you do your acts in union with the divine will, and tomorrow, today and tomorrow, you decide that you don't want to operate in this way, those acts done in the divine will, they are already forever in the eternal presence, in that mode. They enter into eternity because they are, once you give your will to the Lord, he takes that, and those acts, they are placed into that eternal presence, in the present, in the eternal present of God, because in God there is no time. So we know that the sacraments, they have, specifically talking about the sacrament of the Eucharist, it has a beginning and it has an end. It will produce the effect in each one of us according to our state of grace. And then the real presence is gone. But what he's telling us, that one act done in the divine will, then once it is done in this union, it will enter in that eternal mode, the eternal present of God. So that's why it's important then to read and to do all our acts in the divine will, to start praying in this way, corresponding to God in all the acts of creation. Specifically, it's talking about all the acts of creation here, but we know also that we have to recognize, to acknowledge, and to give thanks also for all the acts that our Lord Jesus did in his humanity, which we call it the acts of redemption, and also all the sacraments that he instituted, that they are part of the acts of redemption, but they are also sanctification. And we know that all the acts done in the union of the divine will, they become acts of sanctification because they sanctify us. So as long as we begin to operate in this way and the divine will is able to operate in us, then all those acts done in that union, they become acts of sanctification because they sanctify the creature. And in this way, the Holy Spirit is able to bring us back to that union, to that state in which Adam was created, and now us by choice. So I think we are in 14.
Letter number 14 to Mrs. Costanza Benedetta Pettinelli from Siena. Fiat in voluntate Dei. Most esteemed one in the Lord, I feel gratitude and I thank you for interesting yourself in promoting the month of the Queen of Heaven in the divine will. But do you know who is thanking you? Sweet Jesus and the Celestial Mama. They are really the ones who thank you and look at you with great love. And as you promote it, they keep repeating, thank you, thank you. Their desire that the kingdom of God come upon the earth is so great that our Celestial Mama herself wants to descend from heaven. She wants to enter the families and the whole world to become leader, teacher, and example of a kingdom so holy. Therefore, she loves in a special way those who are interested in it. She will give them the first place and hold them as first children of this supreme will. She will give you the peace that you so much long for, because the first fruit, the first act of divine life, the breath which the kingdom of the divine fiat produces in the soul, is peace, and peace in all things, even in the holiest ones. How many times do you not remain restless in your desires, in your holy works, in the evil you would like to prevent? But blessed Jesus whispers to the ear of your heart, peace, peace, my daughter. I don't want you to be disturbed. Your Jesus, whether they offend him, run away from him, or put him out of their hearts, never loses peace. So do I want from you. I want you peaceful. Peace will be the flag which goes ahead in order to prevent evil and do the good you desire. Therefore, my good lady, never be disturbed. Hold peace as the greatest of all treasures. Your peace will achieve victory in the heart of your son, and peace will prepare your soul to live from divine will. And oh, how fortunate will you be. You will feel heaven in your soul and will have a divine will in your power. Oh, how well will you do, and how much will you love to place your life so that all may know and do the divine will. Therefore, always forward in the good you have started. The celestial mama is preparing a chain of graces for you and will keep her blue mantle laid upon your person in order to protect you and guard you. Oh, how sweet it is to be able to say, I want to place my life at everyone's disposal so that all may do the will of God. Sin, evils would then cease. And oh, how happy we'll all be. I commend myself to your prayers, of which I have great need, and from the heart I will pray for you. I leave you in the divine will. With 1,000 respectful regards, I say, the little daughter of the divine will. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. Two things. First, here, Luisa Picaretta mentions the hours of the Blessed Mother, the Book of Heaven, the lessons of the Blessed Virgin Mary in the Kingdom of the Divine Will, and how our Lord Jesus and the Blessed Mother, it says they thank you for promoting this and for reading this also. As you see in the lessons of the Blessed Mother, in there, those lessons, you read only the lessons, basically that's like a whole course to learn the divine will. Like to read the lessons of the Blessed Mother in that way is like taking a course from the Blessed Mother to let her teach you what the divine will is. And she goes, and if you read it like that, you will understand as a whole the divine will. Sometimes when people they ask questions about the Blessed Mother and about the divine will, and they say that they have been reading these books for years and years and years, but I tell them that answer is in the lessons of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So when you read, try to read and to pay attention with what she's saying in those lessons, because you really read those lessons in that way is again like taking a whole course in the divine will by the Blessed Mother, imparted by the Blessed Mother. We know that Luisa Picaretta is a very good teacher also, because she's been taught by our Lord Jesus, she's been formed by our Lord Jesus and by the Blessed Mother. And one of the things that our Lord Jesus is doing in her in the first 10 volumes is forming her in the faith. So she knows the doctrine very well. She knows the Catholic doctrine very well. Our Lord Jesus goes in detail to teach her all the virtues to make sure that she's doing all these things that the church has been telling us throughout these 2000 years. But that's one of the points. That's why our Lord Jesus is teaching her in this way. And that's why it is important for us to read those volumes if we do not know, especially we do not know the faith. Because, again, we cannot understand the Book of Heaven and we cannot start living in that way if we do not know the faith. Just to give you an example from the Gospels, when the rich man asked Jesus, and he said that he wanted to follow Jesus. And the Lord said, okay, you come and follow me, but you do this and this and this and this. Basically, goes through the Ten Commandments, and he says, all of this I do. Then the Lord Jesus says, go and sell everything that you have, and then come and follow me. And the gospel says that the rich man, he returned, and he was sad, and he wasn't able to do that and to follow Jesus. So imagine if the Lord Jesus is telling us in that passage to follow him, basically, yes, we have to follow the Ten Commandments in order for us to be his followers. Imagine how much more in order for him to live in us, to operate in us. What the rich man was asking, he was asking only to follow Jesus. And here we are not asking Jesus to let us follow him. We are asking something greater. We are asking Jesus to come and operate in us. So we cannot say, well, I don't need the Ten Commandments. Of course, we need those. We need to know that. So in this passage also, Luisa Picaretta talks about the divine will and how by doing this, you will experience the peace and all the fruits, how the divine life will be in you, will breathing you and everything, and basically how by possessing the divine will operating in us, he says everything will fall in order and all the evils, they will disappear. Basically, I think that to be able to possess the divine will operating in us is the miracle of all miracles. So many people, they go around looking for accidental miracles, healings and all of this, which they are accidental miracles. And it is something that we can ask our Lord to heal us and all of that. There is nothing wrong with that. But in the gospel, we hear that sacred scriptures tells us, seek first the kingdom of God and everything will be given unto you. And the kingdom of God is his will. If we seek to possess first the will of God operating in us, basically what Luisa Picaretta is saying is everything will fall into place. Because even if you experience suffering, you will have the endurance to go through that suffering. You will have the courage and everything. So it is okay to look for accidental miracles. That's okay. There is nothing wrong to look for those. Up till this point, we are so used to look for those miracles. And basically, you see the charismatic renewal, many of them in those conferences and all of that, you look only or they are looking for some kind of healings, for some kind of accidental miracle, which is okay. But this is a higher calling, basically. This is to look for the miracle in the essence, basically, the essence that will heal the essence of each one of us. It will not heal only the accidental part, but it will go down to the essence of the person. And what is missing in us is that unity, and which is at the essence of the human person. And if that unity returns in each one of us, then everything will be transformed eventually, a little by little. How? Through each act that we do. But here, the miracle of this divine science, basically, the miracle that will happen in each one of us, it will go down to the essence of the human person. We need to be healed at the essence, at the core of each one of us. If not, everything, all the rest will be only accidental. And all the healings up to this point, they are accidental miracles. What our Lord Jesus was doing when he was healing, when he was performing miracles, he was healing at the essence. He was allowing us to be able to see again, to allow the whole human race to hear the voice of God again, to be healed from that spiritual leprosy, to be resurrected from that death that the human will has brought in each one of us. So all of that. So when we study the book of heaven, when we read these letters, the whole point is to see that the gift that we lost through the disobedience of Adam now is available. It's possible for us to recover it. Why? Because Jesus became man and he died for us. He paid the debt that we have with God the Father. Now he has reconciled us with the Father, and he prayed that this gift may return and that his will may reign on us again. So basically also when we prayed the Our Father, now we have to be conscious that yes, his will may have, his will has to be done in me. It has to reign in me as it reigns in heaven. And that will be the miracle in me, the miracle at the essence of the human person. So that's the first miracle that has to happen in the person, in each one of us. And from there, then everything will fall into place. Again, sacred scripture, seek first the kingdom of God and everything will be given on to you. But the problem is that we are looking only for the accidental miracles, which is okay. But now through this divine science given to us through the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta, we have to understand that it goes deeper, that the real healing has to happen at the essence of the person. And what is missing in there is the union of the two wills. But now we know how to go back to that. So it's 7 o'clock. Let's leave it there for today. Thank you everybody for joining us. Let's pray the Hail Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace. Blessed are thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners. Amen. The blessing of the Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon each one of you and remain with you forever.
Amen.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Father.